Well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing moment. None of us expected, at least nobody that I know expected, that Robert Francis Prevost would emerge on the balcony of blessing yesterday on the facade of St. Peter's Basilica. So it is it's very surprising and humbling and amazing that someone born in this country, in the United States of America, would now be the successor of St. Peter, the universal shepherd of the church, the Pope. And so that's an amazing thing. But if you want to know who you should ask about how they feel, you should ask the 35 students from the University of Mary who were in St. Peter's Square yesterday. They were there, they saw the white smoke, they cheered with the crowds, they saw Pope Leo the 14th emerge from the balcony and give his first address to the world. Imagine those young people standing on the doorstep of their lives, witnessing history unfold in that way, the first pope from this country.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I did see that report today from the communication shop at the University of Mary, and was so excited to know that they were there. And of course, you have a campus there in Rome and have so many connections. It's just absolutely amazing to see what is happening. And I can't even imagine being there. I mean, this is the sixth pope since I've been alive, and I can, from Pope John Paul the First. Through obviously now Pope Leo, I can tell you exactly where I was when the white smoke came out, and everything. And it's just such an amazing time. And it's obviously it's a celebration for Catholics, but it's a celebration for the world. I mean, people really embrace this, don't they, Monsignor?
It's absolutely true. And so I think it is a peculiar thing to see how all of the eyes of the world were on Rome from the death of Pope Francis all through the days of mourning afterward in preparation for the conclave and then during the conclave itself. And I think it speaks to the deep yearning within the human heart to have this kind of united vision of peace and hope that's presented and that the new Pope spoke of yesterday in his first address to the world when he came out upon the loggia, upon the balcony on the facade of St. Peter's Basilica, and he spoke. He began with these words. These were the first words of his papacy. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "Dearest brothers and sisters, this is the first greeting of the risen Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life for God's flock. Peace be with you." And so what a way to begin. And peace, of course, is that message is the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Pope is. He's not primarily or first of all a temporal ruler. He's not first of all the sovereign of Vatican City State. First of all, he's a shepherd, and he's one who brings us Christ. He's the vicar of Christ, we say. And so yeah, I think it's a very moving thing to be united in affection for this person who we're just getting to know.
So let's talk about the fact that he's the first ever from the shores of the United States of America. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were to go to Vegas and say, what are the odds there'll be a pope from the USA in our lifetime, it'd be a longest of all long shots. Usually they say because, you know what, America's a superpower, and you know what, you don't need a pope too from the USA. What do you make of it? First of all, do you agree with that? That's why it's in the first time in 1,995 years of the papacy that we have an American pope? Is it because America has enough? Let's not have an American pope. And two, why do you think it happened?
Well, so first of all, no, I never thought that in my lifetime I would see a pope named from this country. I didn't think that an American, and when we say American, we mean someone from the United States of America. Technically, I suppose Pope Francis is someone from Argentina, from South America, in the sort of parlance of the global community, the way that people talk, for instance, in Europe, he would have been considered an American. But when we say American, we mean from the United States of America. No, I never thought, Scott, that I would see in my lifetime a pope from this country. And that has to do a little bit with the way that the cardinals do the deliberations for who should lead the Catholic Church. And there has been a consensus, and it's a very thick consensus, that we shouldn't really have a pope from a superpower, from a huge secular power like the United States of America, that would be a disproportionate amount of influence. What happened, though, is that Pope Leo XIV grew up in Chicago, though he's originally from Chicago. And I just want to, could we pause on that for just a moment? You and I, Scott, live on I-94, Bismarck, Fargo. That's the interstate that runs through the very center of North Dakota. This new pope grew up on I-94, which runs right through Chicago. I just want to say that's breathtaking, very surprising and astonishing when you consider that the interstate that runs through North Dakota is the same interstate that the new pope grew up driving on and being driven on. It's very, very surprising. And so in any case, I think that what happened is he grew up in Chicago. He went to Villanova. You know, He studied mathematics at Villanova. And that university is run by the Augustinian friars, who are a 13th century religious order, founded in the 13th century, dedicated to the teachings of St. Augustine, who wrote the Confessions, one of the great heroes of the early church. In any case, it was St. Augustine who said, with you I am a Christian, for you I am a bishop. And actually the new pope quoted that yesterday when he emerged and gave his first address to the world. He said, with you I am a Christian, for you I am a bishop, which is very beautiful. In any case, he joined the Augustinians, a religious order that has a strong connection with Peru, and he spent almost all of his life then as a priest in Peru, and certainly all of his life as a bishop, until he was called by Pope Francis to Rome to lead the Dicastery for Bishops, which chooses the bishops throughout the world. He's led that for a handful of years now. And so I think what happened is the way that he was able to get elected, even though he was from this country, is that he's lived abroad. He has dual citizenship. He's an American citizen like you and me, but he also has citizenship in Peru. And he was well known to the Latin American bishops. And there are many cardinals who are from that region who are cardinal electors. And so I think that his command of Spanish, his long time living in Peru outside of this country, all of those factors kind of came together to make him an electable candidate. It's very, very surprising and really beautiful, actually.
Couldn't agree anymore. I just want to keep you for a couple more minutes here, but two quick things. One, I think Pope Francis and what he said sometimes riled people into thinking that he was more political than he should be as pope. And so now there is the, is this a conservative pope like a JP II, or is it a quote unquote liberal pope like Pope Francis? First of all, what do you think about that? You know, can we put those labels on popes, number one? And number two, what do you think Pope Leo will be?
Well, so let's start with, those are two very good questions, and I have those questions too, but I'll take a stab at them as long as you don't hold me to it. First of all, no, I don't think that those categories of liberal and conservative are easily applied to popes. People try and do it, but you have to understand that in the context of Catholic teaching, the sort of left and right poles of American politics don't apply in exactly the same way. There were some ways, in that has to do with how Pope Francis, for instance, was characterized by the secular media. Oftentimes there was a false narrative which got in there, in which they would kind of ignore some of the more stalwart things that Francis would say and accentuate the things which made him appear like he was changing teaching. And so I don't want to defend every single thing that Pope Francis said, decided to make a pronouncement on. But no, I don't think that it's easy to cubby, or that it's proper to cubbyhole popes into conservative and liberal categories. I will say, though, that Pope Leo XIV has taken the name Leo. Oftentimes, the choice of a name signals the priorities of the new pope. And the last pope who was named Leo died in 1903. He was a pope who stood kind of at the beginning of the modern age. And he wrote the first social encyclical, Rerum Novarum, which meant of new things. And what were the new things at the time? Well, he was writing in the midst of the Industrial Revolution. He was writing in the midst of the great sort of cosmic economic clash between capitalism and communism. And what Leo XIII was trying to do is say, no, the church cannot be sort of simply categorized in that way. We have to work, first of all, for the dignity of work and the rights of workers, that's very important, and that the social concerns of the church should not in any way set aside easily or be lost in the political machinations that are happening, and that we have to fight for the dignity, the inherent dignity of every human person and every human life. And so that was kind of the beginning of the articulation of Catholic social teaching, which then Pope St. John Paul II, for instance, became a great champion of. The fall of communism actually is linked to the Solidarity movement in Poland, the fall of communism, which was encouraged by John Paul II. Right after he was elected, he went back to Poland. He gave that magnificent sermon in the main square in Warsaw, in the capital of Poland, and then people chanted for 7 minutes in the midst of an atheistic communist country, "We want God, we want God." So that's that sort of trajectory of this vision of Catholic social teaching. It seems like by taking the name of Leo, it's not unlikely that Leo XIV, this new pope, wants to revive some of the conversation around these core issues and proceed in a very faithful manner. And so that's my guess, and in a certain sense, my hope as well. These are questions which are really important, not just for Catholics, but for all people of goodwill.
And you think about that time, Pope Leo XIII, and what the world faced in the way of peril.
Oh, yes.
We could say the same thing about today. So it's pretty profound that he's taken it.
Yeah, and people forget about this. And this is one of the reasons, Scott, you and I are both Catholics. And so, and we know that all of our listeners aren't Catholic, and that's fine. The fact of the matter is that one of the reasons that something like the papal election captivates people is that deep down, all of us know that ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. In other words, and our faith is a thinking person's faith. In other words, one of our mottos as Catholics is fides querens intellectum, faith seeking understanding. It's not a kind of blind faith. It's a faith that seeks understanding. We believe, like John Paul II said, that faith and reason are the two wings on which the human spirit arises to truth, faith and reason. And so I think that the world looks to the Catholic Church to teach in a way which is filled with the faith of the gospel, but at the same time, which is deeply grounded in very careful human thinking, that's touched by grace, that's touched by the word of God. And so that's our greatest hope, that this new pope, which is his primary responsibility, teaches the truth about the human person, about the world in which we live, and the truth about God. That's what we want him to do. And of course, we all join in prayer for him.
Monsignor Shea, president of the University of Mary, thank you not only for this interview on this momentous couple of days here, but also thank you for your great leadership of a great, great, great institution that does so many great things at the University of Mary, and being one of our great leaders in the state and great faith leaders in our country. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Scott. Great to be on with you today.